When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? This cry comes from Psalm 11, but it's as relevant today as it was then. Perhaps you feel the foundations of your life are a little bit shaky. Maybe you're struggling with ill health or caring for someone whose help you could once rely on. Maybe lack of money is destabilizing your life with the prospect of these shocking price rises in energy. Maybe you don't know how you're going to pay the bills, heat your home, or maybe even eat. Other things can make us feel insecure. Losing someone close, difficult relationships, uncertainty about the future of the church, changes in the NHS, hypocrisy in the government. There are signs of us losing our freedom of speech, the bedrock of democracy. It's becoming a crime to speak the truth, and if you tweet certain opinions, you may be cancelled and threatened. Isaiah wrote thousands of years ago, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." And there are other disturbing signs that all is not well in Scotland, the UK, and the wider world. Many in our nation have turned their backs on God. And I understand increasing numbers of young people are turning to things like witchcraft. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? We must stand firm on the foundations that cannot be shaken. Psalm 18, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge." We know this in our heads, but how do we get really solidly on the Lord as our rock? Critical is the strength of our relationship with God, and key to our relationship is our communication. Hence, the title of this sermon, which is Connecting with the King. We've got increasing numbers of ways of communicating today, and possibly more frustration and disappointment in making meaningful connections. I wonder how often you've heard, "Your call is important to us. Thank you for waiting." No doubt we've all had the experience of dialing a telephone number and not getting through. Or we seem to connect but can't hear the other person properly or at all. Perhaps connecting with God the King can be a bit like that too. How well are you connecting with the King, I wonder? Wherever we are in our communication with God, the Bible passages we've just read can help us to connect with the King, either for the first time or better, so we can become more effective in praying and make a bigger difference to the world, our country, family, church, community, and our own lives. The context of this passage in Luke is Jesus is praying in a certain place, and when he finishes, his disciples say, "Teach us to pray." My suspicion is that they'd been pretty impressed by Jesus praying, and what they're saying is, "Teach us to pray like you pray." So Jesus begins by saying, "When you pray, say." And he gives them some specific words to pray, as well as being words to pray, however, they are much more. Because Jesus is also teaching about proper perspectives, priorities, and attitudes for his disciples too. Children are taught to say particular words at certain times, like thank you and sorry. Not just so they'll know how to say the words at the right times, but so they'll develop attitudes of gratitude and learn to regret hurting others, admit it, stop it, and fix it. We're thinking about this passage under four headings: the privilege, the priority, the provision, and the need to persevere. And I'm going to be saying more about the first two than the last two. First, the privilege. The first word Jesus says to say is Father. Simply, Father. Who is this God that we address as Father? With reference to Psalm 95, the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. In his hands, the molten core of the earth. The peaks of the mountains, not just Mount Everest, but all the mountains are his also. The sea is his because he made it and everything in it. He is creator of the cosmos. Isaiah had a vision of the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. What was his response? Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. The glory and greatness of our God and King is unimaginable. And Jesus said that we just call him Father. The British royal family has got much worldly status and wealth, albeit no real power. The Prime Minister has the privilege of a brief weekly audience with the Queen. But Jesus' disciples can connect with our Father in heaven whenever we like. We can play in his palaces and be held in his royal arms. And how often can we meet with the King of the cosmos? Any time, and all the time, and in all circumstances and states of mind. The letter of James says to pray when suffering, to pray when feeling cheerful. And the Greek is actually emphatic, must pray, must sing songs of praise. And God commands these things to bless us, because he longs to be with us and to help us. We could be in constant communication with him, on hands free. What is God like? He's often presented in the media as being something of a heavenly killjoy, a meanie, but he is altogether lovely. As so many of us know, kind, patient, long-suffering, quick to forgive, slow to anger, and never, ever boring. His people can become dull and get stuck in religious ruts, but not our God. So if our times of prayer have become dull duty or burdensome, something is wrong. And there could be a number of reasons, maybe in terms of our knowledge or our understanding. Maybe there's something not quite right in our hearts. Maybe we're being oppressed in some way. Whatever it is, God absolutely wants to help us so we can be blessed and be a blessing to him and to others. So connecting with the King, our Heavenly Dad, is a privilege and to be a delight. In his presence is fullness of joy. Sometimes we go through dry periods. Sometimes God allows us to be tested, and we just need to keep going, as we'll see below. But God wants us to connect, to be close, to be intimate, for prayer to be a delight and a joy, and the thing we look forward to, where we just learn to live in his presence. So we thought a little about the privilege of prayer. What about the priority? The first thing Jesus teaches us to pray is not forgive us our sins, not anything to do about how sinful we are, not about our needs or anyone else's, although clearly we can ask God to help us whenever we need it. But first Jesus says to say, hallowed be your name. The Greek is also stronger. Your name must be hallowed. In ancient Hebrew culture, names were understood as describing a person's character and nature and represented who the person was. God's name was especially revered. So as we might expect, hallowing God's name is about his name being honored, glorified, used appropriately, not as a swear word or in a promise which we then break. But it's also about how we treat God and relate to him. God hates it when his people praise his name with their lips, but their hearts are far from him, as indicated by them going their own way and neglecting some or all of his commands. If we're in that situation, it will hinder us in connecting with the king. In praying, hallowed be your name, we're praying that God's name would be honored by our lips and by how we live our lives. Many people are put off Christianity, and young people's Christian faith can be destroyed because of the shameful or undisciplined behavior of some Christians. We particularly need to be careful what we say. Gossip, lack of honesty, speaking wrongly of one another, and so on. And Jesus also had a lot to say about how we handle our finances. The scary thing is we can think we're obeying Jesus' commands when in fact we're not. I know there's things I need to be sorting out in my life. And I'd encourage you to pray about your own situation too. So if your connection with the king isn't as good, that's something that you would perhaps like to do. As many of us will know, praising and honoring God is a delight. It's also a very good way to begin our prayers and helps us to connect with the King. Of course, God doesn't need our praises, but as we lift up God's name in praise and honor him, he descends to us. And we're lifted up to him. He inhabits our praises, the praises of his people. And it's a really helpful way of strengthening our relationship. Closely connected to hallowing God's name is praying, your kingdom come. Again, the Greek is stronger. Your kingdom must come. God's kingdom comes when and where God's will and ways are done on earth as in heaven. In other words, fully everywhere. God wants everyone to know him and to love everything he's made. He wants the works of the devil and all his minions to be destroyed, and for the whole world to be under the authority of King Jesus. When there will be justice, real justice, peace, love, joy, life, hope, and mercy. And when we're praying for God's kingdom, this is what we're praying, for it to be fully realized in the future, but also now. We're living in the in-between times, when God's kingdom rule has begun, but it is yet to be established. Now, the key thing is, when we're praying God's kingdom, praying for God's kingdom, we need to be willing to do his will ourselves 24/7. How are you doing? Do you have any besetting sins, any things that you just seem to be confessing again and again? Any areas where you're compromising? The prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. But how do we know what God's will is, though, when we're praying? How do we know whether it's just something we'd like and whether God is really doing it? God is something for God's going to do within his will. Well, Scripture and the Holy Spirit are key ways for helping us. Prayer is not just about speaking to God, but learning to discern what God is communicating to us through Scripture, to our hearts, minds, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Elijah learnt to listen. He knew when to pray for no rain and when to pray for the rain to come, as we spoke about the last few times I've been with you. It's 1 Kings 18, if anybody wants to check that out. Sometimes God judges nations, and no amount of praying can change this. Jeremiah was told not to pray for his people because it was too late. God's judgment caused God pain, but sometimes it's the only way. Isaiah wrote, "When your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness." What state is Britain in right now? I hope that we can be saved from going over the cliff, but I think we are going to be facing challenging times nevertheless. I could be wrong, but it's really on my heart to encourage you to think seriously about how you can seek God for this nation more, with other people, more specifically, even fasting and prayer. We are in trouble. There is a tremendous need for God's people to seek him in this day, to discern what he's doing and how to pray. There is evidence that prayer was crucial in turning the course of the Second World War. The Christian leader, Derek Prince, gives one example of how God, in his grace, showed him how to pray in one particular situation during the war. Derek was serving with the British forces in North Africa. Morale was very low. The troops had no confidence in the officers, who were chiefly concerned with their own comfort to the detriment of the men. Water was very scarce. They were in retreat. Derek sought God as to how to pray. He agonized about this. God could hardly bless such terrible leadership. He sensed God gave him the prayer, "Lord, give us leaders such that it will be for your glory to give us victory through them." Note his concern for God's will and God's glory. He prayed this every day. Then the government decided to change the commander of the desert forces and chose a man named Gott. He was flown to Cairo, but his plane was shot down and he died. Then Churchill, mainly on his own initiative, chose the relatively unknown B.L. Montgomery, son of an evangelical Anglican archbishop. He was just and God-fearing. Within 2 months, there was a new sense of discipline in the officers and confidence of the men in the leaders. The Battle of El Alamein was won, a turning point in the war. 2 or 3 days after the battle, Derek heard a radio announcement of someone who'd heard Montgomery before the battle call all the officers and men to prayer, saying, "Let us ask the Lord, mighty in battle, to give us the victory." As these words were heard by Derek Prince, he sensed God speaking to his heart, saying, "That is the answer to your prayer." Now, much more briefly, I want to consider how God provides and how we need to persevere. Jesus also teaches us to say, "Give us each day our daily bread." God wants to give us what we need and frequently gives us so much more. He is capable of providing in supernatural ways if necessary. He provided millions of manna meals in the wilderness for his people Israel when they were between Egypt and the promised land. Jesus promises in Luke that as we seek God's kingdom, God will provide all that we need. God also wants to provide, give us protection, wisdom, and health. This doesn't mean that we won't go through trials and have struggles. And it doesn't mean that God has forgotten us. Sometimes God does allow these things and bad things to happen. But we just go on trusting the Lord anyway. And yeah, that's just a little caveat. But God does want to bless us. And James tells us to pray for healing. Indeed, he says, if anyone is suffering, he must pray and keep praying. Again, the Greek is stronger than the English translations. God also forgives us. How much we need to be forgiven. But it's only after praying for all the above that he mentions forgiveness. I think that's interesting. We're not to get caught up with how sinful we are. But as we're praying for forgiveness, it's critical that we are forgiving ourselves and others, and that includes forgiving God. Failure to receive God's forgiveness and to give it can really hinder us connecting with the King. God also provides for us in leading us not into temptation and provides the gift of the Holy Spirit, also crucial for helping us to connect with God. So if you need more of the Holy Spirit, in fact, we all need to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to seek God for that too. Finally, we need to persevere. Jesus tells the parable of a man who goes to his friend at midnight to ask for bread so he can feed an unexpected night visitor. To fail to provide for even unexpected visitors would have brought great shame on him. He's desperate. Unfortunately, the friend whose door he was knocking on was already in bed, surrounded by his whole family. No doubt the friend's little ones were just asleep and the baby was teething. It was pitch dark and he had no light, not even of a mobile phone. Getting up would wake everybody. How does he knock? A little tap? No, he is banging as hard as he can on heaven's door. I mean, on his friend's door. Until he gets what he needs. And he's given what he needs because of his persistence and his boldness. Jesus is saying we can and need to be persistent too in banging on heaven's door. Keep asking and don't give up. And Jesus says that everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Doesn't he? Sounds fairly straightforward. But how many of us have asked God for something which he didn't give us? Maybe we felt disappointed, puzzled, less confident in the Bible as a result. Maybe a bit angry with God. Or we maybe thought we were at fault in some way. Well, here is a very good example of why we need to read the Bible carefully and then the context of the verses before and after. One of the key things to understand is that when it says ask in the Bible and knock, the Greek actually says goes on asking, goes on seeking, continues knocking. It's not just something you do once. It's something we need to keep doing. And sometimes we don't receive simply because we didn't persevere. Myself included. I can easily give up or give up too easily. This is also given to disciples, those who are seeking God's kingdom. It's not a verse that's for anybody. It's not one of these like promise texts which you can pull up and it will be. It's not like that. So we need to keep asking and persevere. So we've spoken about the privilege, the priority, God's provision, and the need to persevere. So I'd like to encourage you to never forget what an amazing privilege it is to have an audience with the King of Kings whenever we choose, and to make personal requests of the Creator of the whole universe. But also remember that while royal princes and princesses have certain privileges, they also have certain responsibilities. We need to be our priority is the glory of God's name and seeking his kingdom. We need to be subjects of the king now in every way. And the more that we learn to do that, the more we will be secure. We know all around the world that Christians are facing really difficult challenges, where they don't know where they're going to eat, where they don't know how they're going to survive. But God is working powerfully and mightily, often in supernatural ways, to help them. But it's really crucial that we are trusting with all our hearts, seeking with all our hearts, and growing in that. And I also really like to encourage you to pray and to seek God. Maybe everything's going wonderfully in your lives, and I hope so. But think of how you can bless and help others more and grow in your ability to pray effectively for God's kingdom everywhere, in all your personal sphere of influence, but also in the world. Amen. We're going to have a moment of silence now so that we can pray together. Heavenly Father, please speak to us now in this time of quiet. And help us to just say anything that we need to say to you now. Father, thank you that you hear our prayers. Keep speaking to us and show us how we can trust you more and be more faithful. And release us from anything that is hindering us. Thank you, Father. Amen.